this is what you're fighting for. I mean, every day you're out there.
What they're doing is blowing people off.
If you continue to look the other way and shut up, then the oppressors, the authoritarians, get total control and total power. Because this is just like in Arizona. This is just like in Georgia. It's another element that backs them into a corner and shows their lies and misrepresentations.
This is why this audience is going to have to get engaged. As we've told you, this is the fight.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room, Battleground. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, welcome. Monday, 22 April, year of our Lord, 2024. I want to thank Real America's Voice not only for producing our show and helping us produce it at 5 o'clock, but also today allowing their studios to be used. We got Dave Bratt that's going to be, and they help us produce this show now too, because we've browbeaten the Denver team. I'm just kidding. It's a fabulous team out there in Denver that does this for us. But now the Palm Beach. So I've got Dave Bratt, and I've got him for a few minutes because Dave Bratt hanging out in Palm Beach is obviously a hot commodity. Every dinner party wants him. Every billionaire wants to hang out with him, a cup of coffee. So Dave, I want to do three things. I've got you for a few minutes. Number one, I want to go back over and summarize what you said this morning because it was so powerful. Okay. Number two, I want you to talk about the secret, now secret, Larry Summer white paper where he eviscerates Bidenomics to basically talking to his supporters or his guys inside that Democratic thing. And then three, we gotta play because I heard people were taking clips of you on the show and getting into Summers now in panic mode. He's at the Hill giving it. He's talking, saying, no. It's really Trump. Right. If Trump comes back. So let's take the first because this morning was so intense with Mike Johnson and clearly President Trump's thing as we kick into Passover. Tell me about, summarize your argument on that first before we go to Summers.
Yeah, at the opening this morning, the Republicans and the leftists and Morning Joe and Meek and all them are citing Churchill. Churchill is an icon because he had true courage, and true courage in the Judeo-Christian West is always aimed at the right thing. Right. And so the right thing back there was taking down Hitler. He stood against his entire country. He stood against all the generals when the war came. It looked like everything was lost. And, it just miraculous providential interventions came their way and our way. Thank God. And that is true courage, as opposed to the swamp in D.C. and the House. I include the House Republicans on our three main issues. That the American people want. They're not political issues because they're political. They're political because the border invasion is opposed by 80% of the American people. And yet, do we have a Churchillian moment on the border invasion? No, we do not. We have cowardice and we have appeasement to the cheap labor crew. The big donors want cheap labor. The big foundations, the big folks who bundle money, they want cheap labor. And it's unconscionable, and people are dying because of it. And then they have the moral indignation to, go after the populace, et cetera, on illegal immigration and say, you got to help everybody. What is a human life worth, right, when it comes to fentanyl and et cetera? And then the second issue of appeasement by our betters up in the swamp, of course, is the debt, $50 trillion at the end of this budget cycle, $2.5 trillion in interest payments at the end of this budget cycle, causing inflation, which is the major cause of economic unrest for the American people. All of that could have been avoided, but the appeasement is the easy way out. They act like they're the courageous folks taking this. And then finally, the real issue, these endless wars, right? The Ukrainian war in 2022, Putin had a peace deal on the table to walk away, right, with just taking two of the cities. Now it's up to four, according to POSO this morning. But it was two and keeping what they had, and we caused what they had, right? The U.S. did a coup d'etat back in 14, and now we're cheerleaders for democracy, supposedly, in pure as snow. And so there's another dose of appeasement to the globalist forces in Ukraine. We could have had peace without the deaths of all the young kids, right? 500,000 deaths and dismembered and et cetera, that you cover every day. So bad now that their folks are trying to get in the United States of America. So where's the moral play? I don't see moral courage standing up against that. We could have had a peace deal. And so when we have a peace deal and Putin puts a peace deal on the table, and then we say no, then you tell me who's on the attack, right? And I think that's the issue that no one wants to get to. NATO and the globalists are on the attack. Some of them are on the attack to take down the United States and make us weak, and we're going along with it. When China, of course, is our major adversary in the future.
I want to pivot because I know you get a bounce. I want to pivot to Larry Summers. Yep. Talk to us about this white paper.
Yes.
What did you expose about Larry Summers, who had been Secretary of Treasury and Ben Hennep?
Yeah.
I mean, he's economically the connective tissue between Clinton and Obama, is really Larry Summers, and he's trying to be the connective tissue to Biden. The original white paper said what? That Larry Summers actually told the truth. What did that say?
Yeah, well, and, you know, there's two white, NBER. It's where all the major papers go before they get peer-reviewed and go into, the American Economic Review and the top journals in economics. He had a paper in 22 that never came out with the same implications. And now in February of 24, and if Denver just wants to pop up this chart just for 10 seconds, he shows that housing inflation back at the peak, right, when we had inflation of 9%, housing inflation was 18%. Not 9%. And so just ask yourself, for the middle class Americans, what do they buy? What's in their consumer CPI inflation basket of goods and services? A house and a car. There's the chart. Look over at the far right. There's your receipts. There's your evidence. According to our modern way of calculating inflation, it's only got to 9 at the peak. According to Larry's research with three other Harvard heavy hitters, the inflation rate, when you include the financing costs of housing, which is certainly part of the price, when you pay your mortgage bill, it doesn't just have the house in there. It's got the house price plus the financing interest costs, 18% inflation. And so that go look that up. But then today, we expose this on the show. And so, what it basically shows that if you talk the car inflation, the same principle holds, the interest costs are in there. And then food, everybody knows, is, CPI is plus 20 or 30% up on food. So the average American is struggling terribly to pay their bills and live. Then The Hill comes out with a hit piece by Summers on President Trump. All political views are my own, but this isn't political. This is bad economics. And Larry Summers, who had it right, 2 years ago, he said inflation is not transitory. It's here to stay. He writes a piece in The Hill. And just the title is a comedy show. He's turned into Krugman in 2 weeks after doing great economics. Summers, another Trump term, would bring inflationary spiral and would bring big deficits. Larry, you're a Harvard economist. How big is the deficit now, Larry? $2.5 trillion. And where's your analysis of that? So he's gone from using his character and moral authority on the economic stage with Krugman-type comments, and then it gets worse. Then he says, the populace, me, you, the proper characterization of our populism here in America is Venezuela, right? Argentina, he says, is the proper model. Right today, Larry, check out Harvard University today. Check out Columbia University. Check out Yale University today. And you tell me about Venezuela. Then look at the border invasion. You tell me about Venezuela.
The leaders in talking about cuts, the reason we turfed out McCarthy, we changed the Speaker of the House for the first time in history because he lied to people about a budget deal, a budget deficit that gave Biden and Larry Summers and Krugman, this crowd, ability to spend $7 trillion a year and have have unlimited deficits and kick it past things. The MAGA base has been the only people of adults in the room say you must stop this massive federal spending.
Yes.
That's the populism, and they're arguing exactly against it. There's another stone cold PSYOP. This is a PSYOP. Larry Summers. Is, by the way, here's the bad news about polling. Summers now actively running to be Secretary of Treasury to replace Janet Yellen. So just understand, he thinks he's the polling's getting tighter with President Trump. Brad, I know your public awaits you. I'm glad you're down in Palm Beach at the RAV Studios. You look amazing. I know, but we got to let you go for all the big week cocktail parties and dinners and all that.
They won't have people, me. I'm off the wine and cheese circuit. Right. Yep. Brat Economics on Getter. I'm Brat Economics on Getter. Come visit me at Liberty University. I got an email on that Getter feed, and also throw in FISA on top of it for us populace. We don't want you spied upon by the CIA and the FBI. They do. Yes. They fought to spy on you without a warrant. What in the world? And they're calling us Argentina. Give me a break, Larry. The Tale of Two Larrys
or Venezuela.
Coming to a theater near you.
Right. Hey, Brett, thank you. RAV, thanks for the use of the studio. We appreciate it. And thank you for helping us produce this, our beloved 6 o'clock hour, where we get a little more time because the clock's different. Ben Harnwell, thank you for staying up late in Rome. But I had to finish today. There's much more breaking on Ukraine. I do want to go back and do a washer and repeat briefly on the corruption story today, because they're stealing with both hands over there, right? They're just taking it with both hands. Give me a quick summary of that, and then we got one more thing I had to get in today with you.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Steve. So this is an article in the FT, the Financial Times. This is a sedate financial newspaper. It's not basically a precursor to the war room. This is a sedate and low-key, as you can possibly get. They have this incredible article today, headlined "Foreign Investor in Ukraine Accuses Officials of Corruption." And basically, this company that's just 3 years or so ago in Ukraine started off. Now, the figures here are important, okay? Started off in its first year of trading, 2021. It had a revenue of 250,000 euros, that's it. Following year, 22, went up to 4.8 million. And then last year, had total revenues of 208 million. Why do I go into the arithmetic? Because last year, they paid 60 million in tax. And then in October, the Ukrainian IRS basically says to them that they owe 560 million in tax. This is like way more than the company, you know, that is turnover. Forget it, it's profit. So it's obviously ridiculous. And then in a meeting where this guy, his name is Arnulf Damerau, he's an Anglo-German businessman. He had photographs secretly taken when he was in Vienna with what the FT calls are Ukraine's corrupt officials from Ukraine's security services and President Zelensky's administration. They basically go to him and say, we can make all of this go away. Problem's over. All you have to do is basically sign over your company into a secret offshore trust, which you will set up, and give us 50%, right? The key thing in this article is basically, this guy is a friend of Ukraine. He's got nothing against the Zelensky regime. But he says that, this is the FT, right, saying that Western governments have become increasingly concerned over government corruption in Ukraine, but have largely held back from making their criticism public as they rally support for Kiev to shore up its faltering defense against Russian aggression. Everything, Steve, revolves around that key admission in that paragraph. This corrupt regime in Ukraine knows that it can get away with whatever it wants because the Western countries are bound in publicly to supporting it. And this is where they're hitting for 50%. And this guy, he's not basically a nobody. He's the 10th largest taxpayer in Ukraine. Right, and he's only been there for 3 years. This is what this regime is doing to people who are coming there to invest in that country. The thing that really knocked me sideways, of course, in this story, which broke on Saturday of all days, is that the FT approached President Zelensky's office for a comment, and they declined to comment. Right, these guys who can't shut up, right, who are meddling in every single Western media that they can get hands on.
Because they can't refute it. Ben, I actually got to bounce. We'll get to the other part tomorrow. You're going to join me in the morning show. But I do want to add, you, because of their corruption by third party, people kept calling him 10%. That he's taking a 10% VIG off the top. Your reality, 50%. They've stolen half the money we've sent over there. They've stolen half the money they sent over there. Stolen. It's an open secret. You reported when Alexander Burns, when the head of the CIA, went there and told them to their face, if you don't stop with the blatant corruption that the economists and other people that are coming, remember the economist was doing the interview and the guy goes, hey, can you cut that off for a minute? They're taking, he said, they're stealing with both hands. So out in the open, we know that the Western nations know it. Burns of the CIA had to take a special trip to tell Zelensky to his face, if you don't at least try to hide the corruption, we're never going to get the $60 billion through there. And this is another crime of the $60 billion. No accounting provisions put in there. No forensic audit put in there. Zelensky and his cronies will steal, at the end of the day, 50% of this. They will just steal it. You'll have yachts in Monaco. You have DACAs all over the place. These guys are crooks. It's not us saying that. It's the 10th largest shareholder, a taxpayer in the country, says they're trying to pressure me to drop the charges. They will, as long as they can take 50% of the country. Is his new name 50% Zelensky, not 10%?
We're going to renominate him 50% ski, Steve. You know, I just want to come back before I close now to the cold open on this morning show where you had representatives McCall and others. You had Mika going on about, you know, this is a Churchill moment for Speaker, no Johnson, Johnson. And all the rest of it. Can I just say one thing on behalf of the UK? I leave the allusions to Reagan to Americans to make. But as far as Churchill is concerned, right, Churchill and Reagan weren't grifting hand over fist. Right, that ought to be a fundamental difference when they're all sort of saying about how noble this regime is in Ukraine that's worth defending. Churchill and Reagan in their day were fighting for values worth fighting for. What are people fighting for? What is even the ideals that people are supposed to be fighting for in Ukraine? Okay, Steve, look, I'm on Getter, at Harnwell on Getter, and I have some fantastic posts towards the top of my feed right now. Thanks, Steve. God bless.
And that's just Ben Harnwell, because I always love it when people come in and tell me how great their stuff is. The reality is Ben Harnwell's stuff is great. And the evidence is he's got the greatest engagement I've ever seen anywhere. I'm quite jealous of it. My engagement's nowhere near that. So it's, I think it's the way you write the stuff at the top. It's quite brilliant, Ben. But anyway, go to Getter. Let's get it, and then we'll push it out. Ben Harnwell, fantastic. See you tomorrow. Our man in all things Ukraine. Dr. Bradley Thayer, while we're giving money to Ukraine, we're not focused on the great threat. We forced the Russians into the arms of the Chinese Communist Party. Now we're in it. Now we got a conflict, a building on the Eurasian landmass, and the CCP's run it through the mullahs in Persia and the KGB in Russia. And the reason we haven't forced it, as you and Captain Fennell point out in your great book, is that our business leaders and our government leaders have been in business with the Chinese Communist Party for at least 30 years. They're partners. And that's why, even at the end of the day, Taiwan got, I don't know, they gave him $10 billion to Taiwan, some tip money over what they've given the Ukraine. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, Steve, great to join you, of course. Once again, it's outrageous in terms of the trivial support for Taiwan that's coming out of this. But that's just a symptom, of course, as you said, of the larger problem that we have, where the engagement school dominates American foreign policy towards the People's Republic of China. And you're spot on that it's they've been in bed with them since Deng Xiaoping the communist leader in the 80s and in the 1990s, who was one of the greatest strategists of the 20th century, recognized he could make Wall Street his partner. He could get American elites to send their manufacturing to China and could invest in China for those high returns. And as a consequence, the CCP could govern their behavior once they've invested in their manufacturing in China, and they would be partners. So Deng Xiaoping established that partnership between Beijing and New York, between Beijing and Wall Street. And Deng also recognized he could use the influence, obviously, of these of Wall Street in Washington, D.C. And from that, if you will, initial element, it metastasized to include, of course, government officials, federal government, state, local government officials, media, journalism, of course, think tanks in D.C. And elsewhere. So they all bought into the engagement school, which said what we're going to do is have a partnership with the Chinese Communist Party, and the elite are going to get rich from that, and American national security is going to suffer. And so what Jim Fennell and I argue is that what we need is victory, right? Not engagement with the Chinese Communist Party, but victory over the Chinese Communist Party. So there has to be a sea change in the American foreign policy establishment, abandoning engagement, right? We should do no trade. Ideally, the amount of trade we should have with the CCP is zero. And what we should do instead is formulate the strategy for victory over the Chinese Communist Party. As you said, of course...
One of the things that's hanging us up on that is that in what you're starting to talk about, Captain Fennell and others, is the power of the... Because people say, well, how can the CCP, how can she go to San Francisco and be feted by the 400 top business leaders in the country and have champagne and they're holding up the flutes and toasting him and there's two standing ovations? They're kind of like minded. The families or leaders or factions that control the Chinese Communist Party have made an enormous amount of money. It's the second most powerful nation on Earth, and I would argue probably the second most powerful nation in the history of Earth and back in the United States. The people that run it are not communists. They're Marxists, but they're atheistic Marxists, but they are the most wealthiest people on Earth. They're much wealthier than Elon Musk. They're much wealthier than the sheiks in Saudi Arabia. They're much wealthier than MBZ and the folks down in the Gulf Emirates. These are the most wealthy people on Earth. So they see partners of theirs that are also wealthy. Why have we been so late to start calling out their wealth and how much they've stolen from Lao Bai? Lao Bai Jing ain't wealthy, right? What, 60 or 70 million people still make a dollar a day or something? Why they've stolen all the created value from, kind of Marxist theory of excess gains or whatever it is. That's all been taken by the four or five factions that run the CCP and divvied up among themselves. These people are wealthier than the sheiks in Saudi Arabia, sir.
Indeed they are. And my co-author, Paul Berkowitz, who's really taken the lead on this issue, has done his utmost to show this wealth. And what we need to do is to expose it. And Senator Rubio has some legislation that's going to task the intelligence community with generating a publicly available report, and CRS is tasked to do the same, to really show where their wealth is so that we can reveal their corruption. Look, these guys are purportedly communists, right? And if you're a communist, you can't be rich by definition. It's like being a married bachelor, right? You just can't do it. Communism says, leaders included, are going to have to be essentially of the working class and of the peasantry. Of course, that's a lie, and that's never obtained, of course, in any communist country. But that's the myth, right? But they're not even living up to that element. This argument is really important because it allows us to explore and to advance the illegitimacy of the Chinese Communist Party, to show that they were put in power by the Soviets, right? There's nothing China about it. They impose the tyranny of Marxism-Leninism, a Western ideology, on the Chinese people. So we should think of them really as a colonial government, right? The CCP is a colonial government put in place by the last vestige of Western colonialism, Marxism-Leninism, and their leaders are irredeemably corrupt. Now let's go out and find their wealth, right? Let's go to the Gulf, let's go to Switzerland, let's go to New York, elsewhere, find their wealth, expose it so that we can show to the Chinese people who suffered under their tyranny, who tens of millions, scores of millions of individuals have been killed by that party, that their leaders are irredeemably corrupt, and not just at the top, but throughout the rotten aspect of the CCP. All of them are corrupt, and that wealth needs to be exposed. That reinforces their illegitimacy, okay, and how they're beyond the bounds of international society. We shouldn't have anything to do with them.
This is Thayer, another brilliant thing about the colonial power. We do all of this every day this week, or this is a new focus to look at it, this different prism. One of the reasons it's been driven, it's comments at the end. There's a huge article in Politico today talk about the kind of the infighting already, people jockeying to be senior advisors of President Trump in his second term, third victory, second term. I propose, the article is good, and it's got a lot of friends of mine, colleagues of mine. I think it's great. The one thing I think we're lacking is that we don't have, it was Josh Rogan over at the, with his book, Chaos Under Heaven, Trump and Xi in the first term. They had this group called the Super Hawks, of which I was the head, that unlike all the other, even tough guys or thing, we questioned the legitimacy of the Chinese Communist Party to rule over the Chinese people. That to me has to be a starter. I don't see enough folks in there that have that mindset. I'm volunteering you and Captain Fennell. I think you'd be tremendous people at the National Security Council, in Department of Defense, or in the State Department. If so afforded, would you guys volunteer to join the Trump administration, sir?
Well, we're honored to even be considered, Steve, for that. And I think Jim and I, Jim Fennell and I, are interested in helping in any way that we're able. To expose the illegitimacy of this and to get rid of the CCP, right? If we get rid of the CCP, we're going to take Putin is going to lose support. The mullahs are going to lose support.
Hang on through the break. I want to make sure everybody gets your touch points for all the content in the book. Short break.
Are you tired of progressive corporations and exhausted trying to keep up with all the virtue signaling when you're simply trying to buy products? Progressive corporate America continues to push messaging that further alienates conservative Americans, all while eroding the future of the American dream. It's prominent all over the country. Companies like Starbucks strong-arming their customers to support abortion. Financial services like PayPal canceling customers for their political views. Makeup companies like Maybelline making a mockery of women by supporting transgender models. And beer companies like Bud Light forcing gender ideology on you when all you want is to enjoy a cold beer. Thankfully, we don't have to fund these companies any longer with our hard-earned dollars. With Public Square, we now have a solution. It's simple. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution at publicsq.com. That's publicsq.com. Public Square is an app and website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your value for life, family, and freedom. Whether you're looking to buy coffee, find a new athletic clothing that knows what a woman is, and shop for clean skincare, or simply find a new restaurant in your community that won't lecture you about your political views. PublicSQ.com is your resource. Public Square also offers discounts to many high-quality businesses on the platform so that you can actually receive incentive for spending money with companies that don't hate you. Public Square is free to join as a consumer or a business owner, and you can get started today at PublicSQ.com. Remember, either as a consumer or a business owner. Download the app now. That's publicsq.com, publicsq.com.
Right now, millions of Americans face prescription medication shortages. The FDA's medication shortage list currently has over 120 prescription medications listed. Some patients are being forced into more expensive substitutes, while others are rationing what little medication they have left. Don't get caught unprepared. That's why I want you to pick up a Jace case today. The Jace case is a pack of essential antibiotics that can treat a long list of common bacterial illnesses, including UTIs, respiratory and skin infections, plus much more. And each case can be customized for your specific needs with dozens of add-on options. Just fill out a simple online form and Jace handles the rest. from the online evaluation to license, pharmacy, delivery, and ongoing care. Visit JaceMedical.com and use code Bannon at checkout for an extra discount. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, JaceMedical.com. Get the Jace case and get it today. Action, action, action. True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room Battleground with Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, I just want to notify, we got Captain Fennell in the book by Dr. Bradley Thayer, and they will be part of the Trump, I can tell you, they'll be part of the Trump second term going forward, because you need, not just realists, that's a term, you need these people that question the very predicate of the Chinese Communist Party. They're not a legitimate government. And I love the fact, Dr. Thayer, that you say that they're the last vestige of kind of 20th century colonialism. They are truly a colonial power over Lao Beijing. And this is why they must be overthrown. And this is why I said in the first term, on the campaign trail in the first term, I said, why are we even, this concept of even dealing with them as a legitimate government empowers them. We have to stop that. They're not a legitimate government. Once we do that, and now the second stage, once you single out their great wealth, which they've stolen from one of the most decent, hardworking people in history, the Chinese people, Lao Beijing, and they're living like lords. They're richer than the people in Switzerland, in the Gulf Emirates. You and Berkowitz are on it. We're going to show it again. I want people to get access to the book, because once you read the book, you see in a very thorough manner how the elites in this country sold out the American people and how they sold out the Chinese people. And this is why we're in the situation we're in today, because Beijing's running this deal. This is why we had to keep the KGB and the Russian people from partnering up with them. Trump's geostrategic concept was brilliant. And now, because of what happened in the first term with the Russian hoax and all this BS and these madmen, the people waving the Ukraine flags, desecrating the floor of the House, you see it all. Now we're in it. And I'm telling you, we're in it. The CCP, the mullahs in Persia and Tehran, and the KGB. And man, we are in it now. You throw in Pakistan and mini-me up in North Korea. We got problems aplenty, and they're only going to get worse. How did they get the book? How do you get your writings, particularly what you and Berkowitz are working on and everything else related to this new expose we're doing as the CCP as the last vestige of colonial power?
Well, Steve, thanks very much. And thank you for writing the foreword to our book, Embracing Communist China, America's Greatest Strategic Failure. You can get that wherever you buy books. That's a widely available. And Paul Berkowitz has been driving the wealth issue, along with Senator Rubio, who also deserves a shout out on driving that issue. And our piece is available at the War Room site and, of course, at the Sunday Guardian, which is an Indian paper published in New Delhi. And they're welcome. Folks are welcome to look at the War Room site to get Paul Berkowitz and my piece on that. And then I'm at Bradley Thayer at Getter, Bradley Thayer at Truth, and Brad Thayer on X. Thanks so much, Steve, for calling attention to this.
Yeah, I look forward to having you back on this week, Dr. Thayer. And we need hammers like you in the second term. We need people no nonsense about the CCP and know for the demons they are. So thank you, sir. It's not just coupling versus decoupling. Decoupling it absolutely has to happen. But there's something here deeper than coupling. You got people that are not want coupling. They want partnerships. They want to be in business with these demons. And these are the greatest murderers of the 20th century. 20th century had some pretty evil murderers. Hitler, Stalin, Pol Pot. I could go down. The worst are the Chinese Communist Party. Mao, a devil and a demon. I'm very honored now. Let's play. I got a cold open here. I'm so honored we finally got this set up. Let's go and play. It couldn't be a more perfect day to play this. Let's go and hit it.
More than just beautiful dance. It's a touch of the divine. More than just legends. It's the beautiful culture and wisdom of China before communism. More than just a performance. It's an experience that awakens the soul. See it at least once in your lifetime. Shen Yun, an all-new production every year.
Shen Yun is based in New York, so we're an American company performing traditional Chinese culture in a way that they're not doing. And so we explicitly say, we're going to take this culture that the Chinese Communist Party has spent 7 decades trying to destroy. What Shen Yun is presenting on stage is the ancient virtues and values of Chinese civilization, 5 millennia of civilization, but this is really a universal thing. The values, the ideas of integrity, compassion, loyalty, courage, faith, a belief in something greater than ourselves, is something that's really very fundamentally human. And I think that's what the Chinese Communist Party is very afraid of, because they are trying to instill a different ideology, a very materialistic one, a very shallow one. But here comes Shen Yun. It touches about something very, very deep in people. And that's why you see people from any country in the world, they'll come see the show and they're crying and they don't even know why. It's because something deep inside of them is touched. And is...
Recently, we actually received a bomb threat while we were performing. So we're going to talk about that. Ever since Shen Yun first started performing, the Chinese Communist Party has been trying to interfere with our performances and stop us. And what they've done in the past is the Chinese consulate would send letters to the theater administrators to tell them to not let Shen Yun perform. And they would also send letters to government officials, also convincing them not to have Shen Yun perform. After these attempts failed, they began to resort to more thuggish methods, such as spreading fake stories online, organizing protests outside our theaters, slashing our bus tires, and sending false bomb threats. In the past few weeks, we have received bomb threats in California, Vancouver, and New York.
Okay, I'm honored to have Li Shai Lemish, the Master of Ceremonies of Shen Yun, join us. The reason this is so important for the American people to see, number one, is to appreciate the real culture of our partners and true allies in Lao Beijing that fought with us in World War II and took such huge casualties. But as a lesson, because I love in the advertise you say it's Chinese civilization culture before communism. The Marxism you see here in the United States trying to destroy traditional values, traditional culture, you're seeing the same thing happen here in the United States. And the reason I'm so proud of you guys is that you've gone back and say, no, we're going to show this to people throughout the world. But I hope the great beneficiaries at Lao Beijing in mainland China that see what they used to have before the communists come in. Because you see, the communists have to destroy the family. They have to destroy the four olds, right? But they have to get to the family, and they have to get to all your values and the things that you loved and the myths and the customs and the mores. They must destroy that before they control the civilization. Li Shai, take it away, sir. Very honored to have you on here today.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you for your support. Yeah, so Shen Yun,
give us the history of it.
Yeah, so Shen Yun is based in New York. I think that's what a lot of people don't realize when they see our billboards everywhere. And we even get some comments occasionally from people saying, well, we don't want to support anything that's from China, from the Chinese government. And what I think some people don't realize is we're actually on the same side. This is a performance that is meant to bring back the culture from before communism in China. And it was established in New York by people who left China. In fact, some people who were persecuted in China during the Cultural Revolution, practitioners of Falun Gong. And so we established this out here in the Hudson Valley in New York with the mission of bringing back the culture that the Chinese Communist Party really spent 70 to 100 years trying to destroy. And so we're really on the same side in terms of wanting to bring back the ancient values,
and the virtues of traditional Chinese culture, which are really universal. And because of that, the Chinese Communist Party has always tried to stop us from day one, all the way until now.
Why do they fear like they fear here? What is it about Marxism? What is it about communists that they fear the structure of the traditional family, and they fear traditional culture? And here particularly, you've got, what, 8,000 years of 10,000 years of culture in back of the traditional, the Chinese people, Lao Baijing. What do they fear about that? Why have they taken 70 years to 100 years and tried to destroy it?
Yeah, well, I think the main thing is when they first came into power, they realized that they were bringing in something that was foreign: Marxism, atheism, Leninism, and then they modified it, brought some Stalinism in, and it was really a Soviet import, and then bringing this foreign thing in and trying to make it Chinese. And so the first thing they had to do was create a vacuum by removing all the ancient beliefs that were there for like at least five millennia. And that includes ideas that there's consequences to what you do, that there's retribution. There's a Chinese saying that there's gods watching everything you do 3 feet above your head. And that, if you have that kind of moral base, you're not going to go and do things like they asked you to do during the Cultural Revolution, like beat up your parents and beat up your teachers and struggle against people who have land and murder people, because you're going to believe that there's consequences for good and evil behavior. And basically, the Chinese people for these millennia believed in the afterlife, and they believed in different forms of it, and being honoring their ancestors. And so they had to replace that to get people to follow what Mao and the Chinese Communist Party wanted them to do. And not only did they kill 60 to 80 million people in the last century, this continues all the way to today. So you had the Cultural Revolution is perhaps the most prominent example that we think of in terms of destroying culture, burning books, taking monks and nuns and making them marry, murdering people left and right. And we've heard these stories from some of the older performers in our company, people's heads being exploded like watermelons, all these different things. And then it continued all the way through the Tiananmen massacre and then to the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners. And so what the Chinese Communist Party did was remove all this stuff. And then one generation after another, you get to the point that you have a Chinese civilization today that has grown up without these values. And that is why you have Chinese people who can afford to. They fly to Taiwan. They fly to the West Coast in the U.S. to see the show. And they say, this brings me back to the stories my grandparents used to tell me of what China used to be like. I found real traditional Chinese culture in the United States or in Taiwan. I cannot see this in China. We can't perform in China. And during the show, we even tell people, you cannot see a performance like this in China. It's outside of China that this culture and these traditions and the art forms can be revived.
Is there a yearning, you think, for people in the mainland when they fly to different places in the world to see this? Do you get feedback? I mean, is there a yearning to get back to that more traditional values? You see
absolutely.
That?
Yeah, and you can go online. You can see some of the interviews that we have with Chinese people. None of these are solicited. They're just going on camera and talking about their experience. And they're in tears. And they're saying, this is my real culture. This is what I've been looking for. We get emails on our website regularly from people in China saying, we can't wait for you to come back. Bring our culture back to China. We support you. We even had an instance in Vancouver a few years ago. It was a Chinese official who was sent to spy on us. And he went and found security after the show. And he gave him a thumbs up. He said, I was sent here to spy on you, but we actually support you and keep up the good work. So there's definitely a yearning there for this. I think people are very much questioning what the Chinese Communist Party has been telling them. And then when they see this, they realize, oh, this is actually our stories and our culture. And they're not just told with the surface. Like, you could tell the story of Mulan or the General UFA and just keep it at the level of martial arts and cool action. But it's really the virtues and the ideals of loyalty, of integrity, of faith, of compassion that are behind these stories that Chen Yun is bringing out. And so I would say that this yearning for this message and this sort of revival mission of traditional culture is definitely felt in China, but really around the world. And I think that is what people are often surprised. They come to see the show, they're expecting a cultural experience, a historical experience to find out what China was like before communism. And they get that for sure, but they also leave feeling inspired because it touches upon something deep inside them, inside of all of us, because these traditions, you go back 100 years plus, and they were really very universal. Sure, there's differences between ethnicities and races and cultures and countries around the world, but these ideas of, like I mentioned, integrity and compassion and loyalty and the principles that we show in the show of truth, of compassion, of forbearance, they're really universal. And they're being brought back in such a positive way. It's so bright colors and costumes, and everything is just about uplifting. And even when you have a story that has an element of tragedy, there's also a sense of hope behind it. And that's what really inspires people everywhere we go.
Since our State Department worked in a lab, basically turned over China to the communists in 1949, it was almost 20 years. Mao had absolutely dictatorial control for 20 years. When it dawned on him, it came to him, given all the mess he had made of China economically and just basic delivery of even food. People were starving to death. You had the Great Famine, just one disaster to another. But he realized he wouldn't have total control until he broke the traditional values. That's what started the Cultural Revolution. Tell me, give our audience the details of how awful that was when he finally pivoted and said, I'm not going to have total control until I break their spirit, until I break the traditional culture of the Chinese family. Tell us about the Cultural Revolution.
Well, it was completely thorough. And you have a 10-year period with the first 3 years are considered the manic period, where you have a lot more violence. You have murders. You have basically students are being brought out and they're told to struggle against their teachers. That's when you have the dunce caps and the signs, and anybody who had a foreign connection or intellectual background or anything that could connect them to the history and values of traditional Chinese culture was struggled against and really persecuted. People were thrown into labor camps. They were executed. They were tortured. And then after a few years of this, and this goes not just for teachers, but also religious institutions, arts and culture, you have these artifacts that are being burned and temples that are being razed to the ground, things that have stood around for thousands of years. And then you have a generation of people taken out of school and sent to the countryside. And then you have Mao's Red Book that they're supposed to study, and they're supposed to learn from the proletariat, from the farmers, and they're supposed to learn how to work the land and to be dirty and smelly is glorious and all of this stuff. And then they're completely cut off from their traditions. And those are the parents of some of the people, who are adults now. And then those parents grew up not even hearing about what happened to their parents in the Cultural Revolution. These are secrets that they were not allowed to know. And then by the time you get to the late 1990s, you have people practicing Falun Gong meditation. And this is a spiritual practice. A lot of people in Shenyun practice this. This is a big part of the origin story of Shenyun. And they say, we want to cultivate ourselves spiritually. And there's an element here of traditional Chinese culture of returning to these ideas of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance, which are the principles of the practice. And the Communist Party sees this in 1999, and they say, this is a threat to the Communist Party. You know, if we cannot defeat them, if Marxism can't defeat them, they say this outright, this will be the biggest embarrassment to the Chinese Communist Party. So then they decide to persecute Falun Gong practitioners, and this is going on now for over two decades. They thought it was going to last just a few months, but they didn't realize that when people have this spiritual awakening, when they realize what really matters to them spiritually and they connect to traditional culture, that's not easily crushed, including through torture and concentration camps and organ harvesting and everything that they've done, mass imprisonment of millions of people. And so that is another story that we tell on stage, and we tell it through classical Chinese dance, which is our main art form, in a very moving way. And it ends with this very inspiring message of hope and faith and determination. And that's one of the pieces that people like the most. But that's a big reason as well why the Chinese Communist Party is so afraid of Shenyun. So there's these two elements of reviving traditional culture on the one hand and of exposing this persecution that they claim isn't even happening on stage. In theaters around the world, in front of VIPs, in front of politicians and entrepreneurs and all these different people, artists from around the world. And that's what they're really afraid of.
The Chinese, with all their might and power, all their economic power, their partnerships with, quite frankly, these atheists on Wall Street and in Silicon Valley, the spiritual side, whether the Christian, the underground Catholic Church, Falun Gong, it strikes fear in the heart of Xi and these powerful people. They understand the more they try to crush the Chinese people, the stronger they get. Tell me about actually when people go to the website and go find and say they want to go for a night, what are they going to see?
Right. So the website is shenyun.org. That's shenyun.org. And you can see a lot of videos there, an introduction to the performance. But the performance is a collection of vignettes, about 20 pieces. Each dance is about 5 minutes long. And it tells a different story from a different region or a different dynasty, a piece of literature, for example, The Monkey King from Journey to the West, which is about a spiritual quest, really. And we have historical figures and generals and warriors and love stories and all these different things. And we have soloists who sing and perform on the arhu, and we have a live orchestra that accompanies it. And really the main art form of the performance is classical Chinese dance. And this is an art form that has a history of thousands of years. It's very different from ballet. It has its own systematic training and very distinct Chinese movements and postures. And it's very, very athletic. So actually a lot of the flips and tumbling techniques that we're familiar with from gymnastics, Olympic gymnastics, acrobatics, cheerleading even, these actually originate from classical Chinese dance. It was Chinese artists who brought them out and gymnasts in the Olympics a few decades ago and introduced them to the world. And now they're a mainstay in Chinese, not just in Chinese, but in Olympics and gymnastics everywhere. But this is actually originally from classical Chinese dance. You see a lot of that in the show. It's a very expressive art form as well. So you can experience different emotions that are brought out with really subtle movements. My job in the performance is to introduce all the different pieces. I just go on stage with my MC partner and we say a few words just to give a bit of a connection, a bit of a background to different stories. But really, classical Chinese dance and live music is a universal language. And frankly, people will do quite okay even without the MCs understanding and getting the feeling from behind the performance. And there's also an animated backdrop, which has a lot of surprises. We have a really cool patent on that in terms of how it interacts with the performers on stage. I'll leave that for people to go see and experience for themselves. So it's really a very sensory, just all the senses are engaged and you're instantly transported to this other world. That's one of the things that people talk about the most is they come to the theater and they're blown away and they're taken somewhere else entirely. They experience this other civilization, which really has been lost in other regards. And they're brought back to it, and then it awakens something inside of them because not only are they experiencing this other culture, they're also remembering certain things about what is true to them and in our own traditional culture, be it in the United States or in Japan, in France, wherever we perform.
One more time, where they go to the site? I want everybody to go today and check this out.
So our tour is from December to May. We have about a dozen cities left in the United States. For this tour, we travel all over the world. We have 8 companies that are touring the world simultaneously. Our website is shenyun.org. That's S-H-E-N-Y-U-N.org.
Li Shai Lemesh, thank you so much. Honored. Look forward to having you back on here. Everybody go to the site tonight and check out if it's coming to a locality near you. Thank you, sir. Lou Dobbs is next. Make sure you go to birchgold.com/worm to get The End of the Dollar Empire. 5th installment's out. Download it for free. Lou Dobbs next. See you back here at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers and you don't. You'll pay up plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on. Grind you for all your back taxes, plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse. War Room at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty.
Go there, do it today, check it out.